Well, hello there, top teachers. We are your hosts, Bridget Spackman
and Michelle Emerson, and we are here to make your life easier by helping you master your time, organization, and productivity as a teacher.
When times are hard and you feel like you are in a productive slump, because we've all been there, let's just be honest, journaling has a huge effect on increasing your motivation, centering your thoughts, and then helping you to be more clear. In this episode, we are talking all about the power of journaling to help you stay productive.
But first, we're going to hear a time-sucking hurdle from Sarah. It's a little lengthy, so I'm going to do my best to read this without messing up.
You got this.
Sarah says, I don't know if mine is a TSH or an ESH, which stands for emotional sucking hurdle.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
I do love that. I currently teach kindergarten. I love the age of the kids that I teach, but the behavior and needs of the children in my class is wearing me down. Mm. I leave work feeling like nothing I do is enough. I know I'm a good teacher and I care deeply about what I do, but I can hardly get through lesson material because of the interruptions and constantly redirecting. I am lucky that where I teach, the kindergarten program is run by two educators together, and we have a staff in our class as well as support to support our little ones with special needs. It is great to have other adults to bounce ideas off of, and we work really well together, but I am so worn out each day that I worry I don't have it in me to give my best to my family. I also come home to a kindergarten age child.
Mm. Sarah, I know how you feel in that sense, because when I taught kindergarten, Ian was in kindergarten. So I understand that whole I have it at work and then I come home to it, and it is such a challenge. I agree. I feel like it is almost an emotional sucking hurdle that you're having. And I'm going to address two different things. So one, I'm going to say, I think this episode is really inspired by you and the struggles that you're having inside of your kindergarten classroom. But two, I would say you got to trim the fat. I mean, you have to really go into your class and look at what is working and what is not working, and where can I start to restructure, or maybe just like get rid of the learning for a little bit and focus on the kids and maybe their emotional sucking hurdles that they're going through, because the behaviors happen for a reason. There's a reason behind every behavior. And we have to be able to identify that and help our kids be successful and work through those moments. I could go on and on. I feel like about behavior and how it is affecting our classrooms and the learning and just teachers in general. But I would say, one, looking at journaling would be a really great path for you. Two is going back and just stop trying to do all the lessons and focus more on helping kids with strategies when it comes to the behaviors that they're exhibiting, and really just focus on that, because no learning is going to happen. And right now it sounds like you're killing yourself because you're trying to do both and you can't do both. You need to focus on the behavior first, and then learning will happen from there.
Yeah, this TSH or ESH really tugged at my heartstrings, because it's like I have so much empathy. I mean, I've been there in terms of having difficult classes that just drain you day after day. Yep. And you feel like you get home and you only have the opportunity to recharge your battery to like 5%. So when you go in the next day, you're already worn down, and then you get back down to zero, and it's just like you can never catch up. I've never been in the position of having a child, so knowing how difficult it was for me, I can only imagine then having to come home and be a mom to a young child who's in a very developmentally important age. Like, I have as much empathy as I can. I will say, kind of going off of the behavior component, I mean, I agree 100%, Bridget, with everything you said about really getting down to the why. And obviously that's easier said than done. And like, I know there were some years where it was just like the combination of kids, and it was like, it didn't matter what I did. At least that's what it felt like. I will say, I think reminding yourself that A, you are making a bigger difference than you realize. And a lot of times you're not going to see that until way later down the line. And you may not even see it at all, right? That's part of teaching. You're planting seeds that you don't always get to see actually blossom. But I also think it's important to remind yourself that their behavior is not a reflection of you. It's due to their own struggles. And a lot of times they might be choosing to act out in school because they feel safe there. And they know that you're still going to love and care for them regardless mm-hmm. of how they act. And sometimes they just need an outlet, right? I think mm-hmm. about, you know, I know with Billy sometimes when I'm really stressed, it's like I take it out on him because I know at the end of the day, like he's still going to love me. And I can have those kind of ugly moments as a human where I'm just like, I just need to get my emotion out. And he will still be there after. And I think sometimes our students need that reliance of security mm-hmm. and stability from us as teachers. And so even on those days when you feel like you're not enough and you feel like you're everything's falling apart, you are serving a purpose just by being there and by loving them. And I understand that doesn't make it any harder on you. And it still is not fair that you have to deal with that. But I think when we can realize that there is purpose behind suffering sometimes. Mm-hmm. And even though suffering is challenging, when we can realize that like there is that light at the end of the tunnel, and it makes us more resilient as people, as teachers, like there are those plus sides. And that's kind of a temporary fix. It's like putting a Band-Aid on it because it's not fixing the problem, right? It's not yeah. making it any easier. But sometimes you just need something to help you cope and get through the really challenging times. So I don't know if that was helpful.
Yeah. But I think I'm going to add one more thing of just saying, and your comment really triggered this, is that we have to also remember the really good moments. Mm-hmm. So last year, and Michelle, you know a lot about it. Last year was hard for me in the classroom. The yeah. behaviors were hard. It was the mixture of the class that I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to pull my hair out. But I tried to leave every day not thinking about all the challenges I had, because there were a lot of challenges, and those challenges seemed to like outweigh all the positive things that were happening, but more so think about all the moments where I smiled and I laughed yeah. and I like played around with one of the kids, and like, you know, we kind of had jokes back and forth. And I tried to think of those moments, because the negatives always seem to be so much heavier on us and on our bodies and on our our mentality, that it's so important to try to pull out the good things, to let those kind of remain with you when you leave at the end of the day, rather than the bad.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. And we okay. know as humans, we have this negativity bias where we do hone in more on negative experiences yes. because from a survival standpoint, that is what we have learned from, right? Mm-hmm. Those moments when you were being chased by a wild animal, it's a negative experience. Your brain mm-hmm. remembers that more because you want to make sure in the future you can prevent it from happening again. And I think if we yeah. know that, and we know those are our tendencies, we can proactively take action in order to overcome that. And I think that's what really inspired a lot of this episode, because journaling is one facet to be able to kind of bring back those moments and, yes. and keep them at the forefront of our mind. So Bridget, I want you to kick us off, because when we yeah. sat down to kind of plan out this episode, you were like, oh, have you tried the new journaling app?
Yeah, and I was
like,
lady.
No, I haven't.
So there is a new journaling app that came out with one of the updates. I don't remember which update, but one of the iPhone updates. There is a journal app, and it kind of looks like a butterfly. It's yeah. like purple and pinky, but it's so cool. Have you still not tried it? You haven't tried it, have you?
I haven't tried it. I have seen it, and I've like opened it up and kind of seen how it's structured. Mm-hmm. It does crack me up though, because I will get random notifications on my phone where it's like, hey, do you want to journal about this? But you want to know what it chooses for me to journal what? About? It'll be like, you went to the gym today. Because it tracks locations. So it's like, you were yes. at Game Day Barbell. Do you want to, and you recorded this video of your set. Do you want to journal about it? And I'm like, no, I don't.
You're like, I don't want to talk. I've been using it since the beginning of January. And I really, really like it. I like the fact that I can attach pictures and movies with it. And then you can just like quickly just jot some things down. There are days where I only do like a sentence or two. And then there are other times where I go a little bit more lengthy. So it's very that's very freestyle of me. Michelle would have a much better structure to all of that. But check out episode 220 if you have not already listened to that one for behind the story on that. But it is really cool. And I've been enjoying it so far.
Well, I think that's part of why I haven't dove into it more, because I would feel this need to have a strict structure, and I'm not willing to commit to that right now. I will say, even though I haven't really jumped into the journaling app, I have been using our digital planner, the digital personal planner, a lot more, and I've been using it somewhat in like a journaling capacity. I will get into it in this episode, but Bridget, have you, I know you kind of listened to Office Ladies.
Yeah.
Have you heard the episodes when Angela will like share things from her journals?
Yes.
It cracks
me. I love those.
Up, because she writes as if she's writing like to someone, just telling about her life.
Uh-huh.
And the way, when she reads the entries, there was one where she's like, I guess because she was new to New York and she was coming from like Texas and she didn't know what a bagel was, and so she's in her journal like explaining what a bagel is as if no one else knows what a bagel is, you know what I mean? But she's like, yeah, like it's
like she's gonna forget what a bagel is.
Yeah, she's like, it's like a donut but it's not sweet, like it's round. It just, it's so funny. So if you ever need a laugh, just like go on to Office Ladies, that the podcast.
I do love her journal entries. I love the journal entries. And I love the fact that they journaled and they kept track of this stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so cool.
It makes me want to journal more because I'd want to have that to look back on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right. So we wanted to share a little information about what science tells us about the power of journaling to help us basically define our why. You know, we're really big about having purpose, having reason behind the things that we're doing. So I'm going to spit out a bunch of like research stuff that's out there. Of course, please feel free to go out and explore that a little bit more if that is your jam. Okay. So there is a study that showed that expressive writing, like journaling, for only about 15 to 20 minutes a day, 3 to 5 times over the course of like a 4-month period was enough to lower blood pressure and improve liver functionality. Isn't that
crazy.
Wild?
It is.
Like it isn't even that much journaling.
Yeah.
So equally, another study conducted with undergraduates and like narrative and expressive writing indicated lower levels of perceived stress and depressive symptoms. I read that research study and it was fantastic. It also lowers our chances of getting ill, but it also increases the chances of fighting a slew of other serious diseases like rheumatoid arthritis, asthma, cancer, and the health benefits of journaling are even visible and quicker post-operative, that's a
great
hard
job.
Word for me. I'm sorry, guys. Recoveries and faster healing of wounds among seniors. So I'm like stopping for dramatic effect because I am like shooketh to my core as I'm reading this. So a 2002 study of researchers, it's a bunch of people, Provencher, Greg, Mead, and Muser, I believe is how you pronounce all their names, also found that journaling can speed the recovery of those who are struggling with various psychiatric conditions.
I agree, Bridget. I know you were stopping for dramatic effect and I didn't want to interrupt.
Thank you.
It is crazy just to see how, because science doesn't lie, right? Like I understand there's always issues with like validity in studies and biases and all that. However, when there are multiple studies conducted that demonstrate certain results, not always that correlation equals causation, but still at least seeing the potential benefits of journaling.
Yeah.
And like you said, it can really give you that purpose behind doing it. Like when you understand that why and what you have to gain from it. So I'm going to do just like a quick bulleted list of some other like general benefits of journaling, some of which are things that Bridget already kind of mentioned, but then just some other things as well. So first, as Bridget mentioned, with a lot of these studies, there are substantial physical and mental improvements, including a boosted immune system, decreased risk of illness, reduced symptoms of depression and anxiety. It can help you cultivate gratitude, which has other health benefits and impacts your happiness. I mean, there's so much out there on gratitude, and I feel like it's one of those areas that's kind of being studied more often. So more and more research is coming out about it, but it is very promising, I will say. Journaling can also help improve your overall memory function. So it helps you be able to process events of a particular time, because when you record them, you are remembering and reflecting on the details of those events, especially like in the moment when they're happening or relatively soon after. You can then analyze those past events for patterns, which I think being able to spot those patterns can help you respond appropriately in the future, because I think a lot of our lives tend to play out in patterns because we have certain tendencies. And so journaling can help you kind of discover some of those if you haven't already. And then finally, there is research that suggests that it can help you work through trauma to heal past wounds and gain insight into like the way forward. And obviously we are not psychologists or psychiatrists or experts in this field whatsoever. And I know a lot of these can be very personal things, right? Like if you have ever suffered from various levels of trauma, or you have suffered from depression and anxiety and all these different issues, you may be rolling your head because you might be rolling your eyes and thinking, well, okay, like, yeah, sounds nice, but when I was, you know, deep in this, like that wouldn't help. We're not suggesting that it's a cure all, but it is something to explore, or at least something to discuss with a healthcare professional to decide, like, is this something that could work for me? And to me, I think there are plenty of potential benefits without much risk, right? Like journaling is a very low risk intervention, if you will. So we are going to take a quick break, and then when we jump back, Bridget and I are both going to share how we personally journal, kind of like our own process for that. Mm-hmm. And then we're also going to give you some tips for journaling. So if it's new to you and you're like, I don't know how to go about it, we've got some tips. And then we're also going to share some potential journal options that you can use at the very end. If you are feeling lucky, we've got some good news for you. We are hosting a giveaway for the month of March that you're definitely going to want to enter.
And it's so easy. All you need to do to be entered in the giveaway is to make a purchase of any kind from our Teaching on the Double store. You can grab a set of digital planning stickers, a new planner, or some inserts, and you will be automatically entered.
At the end of March, we are going to randomly select two winners, since we are teaching on the double, to receive an Amazon gift card. We will contact the winners using the email address used to make the purchase from our store.
Again, all you need to do is make a purchase. That's it. It could not be easier, so go ahead and treat yourself to some digital planning goodies, or even buy yourself a gift card or to our store to use later if you don't need anything right now. And keep your fingers crossed that you are one of our lucky winners.
Those winners will be contacted on April 1st. It will not be an April Fool's joke, through their email address. And while we wait in suspense to see who they will be, let's get back to the episode.
All right, we are back, and I'm going to kick us off with how I journal. So it's no surprise, I'm using my iPhone with the update of the new journal app, and I have really been loving it. Now, I'm going to say that I am not consistent with it at all. I don't have it down to where I'm doing it every single night. It's really just when I find that there's moments that I really just want to capture and hone into. So now, do I want to probably get better at that? Yes. But for right now, it's just inconsistent. And I'm really just enjoying the process. Very free flowing, loving for me. So here's what I do. When you open up the app, there's a spot for you to be able to add a new journal entry. And it just says new entry, or it's like a little circle with a plus. And then you can click on that and you could just start writing. There's no template. There's nothing with it. And typically what I will do is I will just add some information about my day. going back to what Michelle said about some of the benefits and the fact that it helps to improve your overall memory function, that's a huge challenge for me. I tend to forget things very quickly. And so having that retrieval process at the end of the day is really beneficial, especially if I feel like it's a day that I did a lot. I want to go back and I want to try to remember some of those events. So I will just either do like a bulleted list of here are some of the things that I've done. Maybe I just want to vent about something, which sometimes happens, where it's like, okay, listen, I was at the school, this ended up happening, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I can just vent to it. But there are so many different things that you could do. You record a video, you can record audio in there. So if you want to do it as like an audio recording, you can absolutely do it that way too. And then you can add some pictures to it as well. So it's very free flowing for me right now. I would love to continue it, but I'm just enjoying the process. And I think I'm trying to build that enjoyment of journaling first before I try to make it into like an everyday routine.
I'm getting so many flashbacks to our last episode.
I know.
We, Bridget and I, broke down how we are different in terms of being like goal oriented and being more free flowing, because Bridget's like, yeah, I love that the journal, I can just write whatever I want. And I'm like, I would hate that. I need structure. I'm like, I, you can't open just a blank thing and tell me to go to town, because I'm going to feel the need to write a novel.
Lady, I am dying over here, like literally dying.
So here is my method. I am not a daily journaler. I, as a kid, bought so many journals, but I could never stick to it. One of my favorite things to do on Ken Island, where I lived, you know, we were a small island. We didn't have many like stores, but there was a Tuesday morning.
Oh, yeah. Or, I love Tuesday mornings.
Yeah. So we always called it like the leftover store, because that's basically what it was. It was like leftovers from all these other stores. It was essentially TJ Maxx before TJ Maxx was like cool and trendy.
Yes.
And but also not as fancy. But I would go and I would pick out journals, and I love to pick out the journals, and then I would write in it for like maybe a week and I would abandon it. So I have known this about myself. And since then, I have tried other methods to become a daily journaler, unsuccessfully, one of which back in 2020, it was definitely like pandemic was at its all-time high. I actually created a daily journal page for myself that I could complete digitally, because I thought having the digital component would make it easier for me. And it did to a certain degree. I also needed structure. So rather than a blank notebook, I'm like, great, this will give me things to fill out. The issue was I couldn't stick with it. I felt the need to fill out the entire thing every day, and it became too overwhelming. Then that Christmas, I want to say, is when Bridget got me the one line a day book.
Yeah.
Which I loved the concept, because it felt very doable, because you're just writing literally like one sentence per day. And the idea is you keep the book for 5 years. So each page has 5 years of that day. So it'll be like January 1st and it'll have five consecutive years. I will say I used it for about 6 months and then I fell off of it.
Yeah,
and
lady, you don't even want to know how long I'll use it for.
Okay. Okay. I feel better. Then the next thing I did was create a Google spreadsheet with drop downs and like little spots to fill out. So it was like the daily journal page, although that one was like a PDF that I used in GoodNotes on my iPad. This one, because it was a Google sheet, I had little drop downs where I would like rate the day, and it felt more attainable. Just didn't stick with it, if we're being honest. So right now I've pivoted and I've given up on daily journaling. I'm like, it's just not for me. What I have been really relying on, though, that I love, at least thus far, are these monthly reviews. Okay. So I do a weekly review, but it's more of like just keeping my to-do list up to date. The monthly review is really where I sit down on a more like, how do I call this? Like intrinsic way, where I'm like, how do I feel about, you know, the month? Do I feel good? Do I feel like I accomplished stuff? And as a result, when I designed like I was coming up with the pages for the digital personal planner, I was like, I want like a monthly review page. And that's what I've been using. Now, the digital personal planner does also include a daily journal page, which I modeled after the one that I had originally created back in 2020. But the monthly review has worked for me because I only have to do it once a month. But it's like, what are my accomplishments? What's my best memory? I rank different things from the month, like how was my productivity? How was my health? All of that. And I've been really enjoying that. Now, I will say, Bridget, don't tell anyone, although I'm sharing it on the podcast. In my notes app, I have a folder. It's varied. It's buried like very deep down. Okay. Like it's like a folder inside of a folder. I also have it locked. Okay. It is where I put those like deepest, darkest thoughts.
Oh my gosh.
So those days like where I'm just really struggling and I'm having thoughts like I don't want anyone else to know, I will just like put a note in there and I will just write it out. Like even Billy doesn't know about this. Like it is just a me thing. And mostly I want those documented so that I can look back and go, I'm in a better place now, because I've had those moments in my life where, you know, I look back and I'm like, wow, I'm really happy I came out on the other side kind of thinking. And so I do think it's important for me to have a place for that, but there is no like, oh, I must write in this one. It's literally just when I feel compelled. And I think right now I have literally like two or three total entries in there. Like it's not a common thing, but it's there. It's there to capture my thoughts when needed.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
I mean, so it looks like, it sounds like we have a process, at least something of a process. And I mean, if we go back to that research, it doesn't have to be a ton of times that you're journaling. It just means that you have a system and a way of being able to keep track of your deepest, darkest secrets or the things that you're feeling grateful for or the things that you've really accomplished. And that's going to be the biggest component. Yeah. Overall. So what we want to do is give you some tips for journaling. Okay. Hopefully this will help inspire you to get started with whether if it's free flowing or once a month, like Michelle, whatever it might be, choose your path. It's kind of like a choose your own journey type of book situation. Okay. So tip number one is to find a routine that really works for you. Decide how often you want to journal and be reasonable and gracious with yourself, because starting to journal every night is overwhelming. You're not going to stick with it. You're going to quit. I'm just going to tell you right now, don't do it. Okay. You can start with maybe once a week to begin or once a month. And then once you start to feel confident, you can then choose to increase your times from there. The smaller the baby steps, the more likely you're going to continue building that habit, because that's what this is at the end of the day. It's a habit that you're working to build. And then decide if you want to journal in the morning or if you want to journal in the evening. And this is part of that routine building. And think about your lifestyle and what time of the day that you have just a few minutes to yourself to reflect and to write. And if you're a morning person, you can absolutely do it as soon as you wake up, as you're enjoying a cup of coffee. If you're an evening person, maybe you're seated on a chair in your bedroom and you can just kind of allow yourself to be able to write a few things. Whatever it is, choose what works best for you. That was very hard to get out.
I feel like that's going to be the underlying theme of this episode. It's like there is not one right way. There is just what is right for you. And I think my tip is going to pair nicely with yours, Bridget. Tip number two is to write less than you want to write. When we read the book Essentialism by Greg McKeown, he mentions how journaling is a great tool for you to see what really matters. And it becomes this like storage device for backing up our brain's faulty hard drive. And we already mentioned the memory benefits of journaling. But the issue is, and Bridget already highlighted this, most people struggle with sticking with it, especially if they write a lot the first day, because then it feels like something you have to live up to day after day, and you end up falling off the habit because it just feels too daunting and overwhelming. I recently read the book The Slight Edge, which Bridget cannot recommend that enough.
Really?
So good. Shout out to Mandy, because she had gotten that for me for my birthday.
She had it for both of us.
Yeah. It is so good. Like, I wouldn't quite put it up there with Atomic Habits, but it's like a number 1A and 1B in terms of like favorite books. I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
But regardless, he mentions how you have to go slow to go fast. And the most powerful force of change is time. You have to be patient. So rather than going big from the get-go, but then ultimately falling off, it's better to do little things consistently and persistently. So rather than ambitiously trying to write your life story as your journaling practice each day, just write a sentence or even a few words. Make sure whatever it is that you choose to do, it is sustainable. And then even if you fall off the horse, be willing to get back on no matter how long it has been. I know with the one line a day book, when I first started falling off, I felt bad. And so I didn't want to keep going. So I'm like, well, I missed 3 days. Mm-hmm. I did force myself a few times just to skip those days, pick up from wherever it was. And then ultimately the habit didn't stick, and yep. We can analyze that another day, but write less than you want to write because it's easier to increase it later than it is to decrease it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it absolutely does. And I was the same way. As soon as I like started missing days, it was like, well, I'm done.
Yeah. And I just all or nothing mentality.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. Tip number 3 is to stack this with a current habit and to make it visible. When starting anything new, there's going to be some friction, okay? It's inevitable. It's going to happen. We all know this. Identify a habit that you already have in place and attach journaling with that habit. So for example, maybe you take vitamins in the evening and it's in a space where your vitamins are located. You can place your journal there to trigger to your brain, oh, I need to do my journal entry. Maybe you bring up a water and you place it next to your bed at night, and then you can sit down and complete a journal entry as soon as you bring up your water. Maybe it's that in the morning you're making coffee and you have a journal entry, and as your coffee is brewing or your Keurig is heating up, if you're like me, you can write down a few things from the day before. Whatever it might be, do what works best for you. But you want to make your new habit visible, meaning you want it to trigger actions and limit the friction of starting. If you have a physical journal, then you have to have a pen next to it so that you're more likely to write it versus saying, oh, I don't have a pen. I can't do it today. If you're using a phone app, use an alarm to trigger it as a reminder to be able to get that done. The point is that you're trying to make this as easy as possible.
Yes. Because otherwise you will stop doing it like I did with my one line a day book.
Amen.
But speaking of different options, we want to leave you with some ideas to consider for different ways that you can journal, or different platforms rather. So obviously you can use just a blank notebook and free write. And if that works for you, fantastic. I know like bullet journaling is another really popular kind of platform, and you can find tons of YouTube videos for inspiration on that. You could also consider creating your own personalized template, either in a Google Sheet like I had done or within a Google Doc. Both of those will give you the option to create like drop downs, which I do think is really nice, and it might help make that habit more sustainable. But if you want something with some more structure that's already done for you so you don't have to create it yourself, check out our digital personal planner. As I mentioned, it does have a daily journaling page, which you can duplicate that page of the planner as many times as you need to. And or you can even do it and then like go back and erase it if you want to kind of have a clean slate each day, because that might be helpful for some people. Maybe they don't want it documented. They just want the process of like getting it out of their brain.
Yep.
But the journal also has those monthly review pages that I mentioned. I've been really, really loving those because it's made for you to kind of reflect on your month as a journaling practice and then also kind of set yourself up for success for the month ahead. And I've been sharing those kind of recaps from my month on my YouTube channel with like vlogs. So if you want a closer look of like what those pages look like, you can go check that out. We mentioned, Okay. We mentioned that one line a day book where you write just one sentence each day, and each page of the book is one calendar day, but it has 5 different consecutive years listed. So you buy the book and you're good for 5 years, which is really, really nice. There also is the 5-minute journal. Now, I will be honest, I have never tried this one, but I've seen it everywhere. Ooh. It's a very popular option. Essentially, it's one page per day, and it's going to give you that structure. So it lists an inspirational quote up at the top. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't fill it in. It's already there for you. And then there's a section for the AM and the PM. So in the AM, you're going to fill out 3 things you're grateful for, which I do think is a really nice practice to have at the start of your day, and 3 things that would make your day great. And then you write a daily affirmation for yourself. Then in the PM, you would come back and revisit it. You're going to write out 3 highlights from the day and what you learned. Now, you might already be thinking, oh my goodness, this now means I have to do it twice. And so, yeah, it might be a little ambitious for you. This might be for more of the advanced journaler, right? If you will. But consider pairing it with habits that you already do in the AM and PM. So for example, maybe in the AM while your coffee is brewing, you fill out that top part. Mm-hmm. And then in the PM when you're like setting your alarms before bed, you can then fill out the bottom. The issue becomes you'd have to move the journal, right? So maybe after you make your coffee, you carry the journal upstairs with you as you get ready. I don't know. It would take some planning. But Bridget had also mentioned that journaling app on iPhones. I don't know if Android has something similar. Was there anything else you wanted to add about that app, Bridget?
Yeah. One of the things that inside of the app, when you go to create a new entry, there are suggestions as well inside of it. So sometimes they will offer, well, they always do. They offer you different questions to help kind of guide your thinking a little bit. Mm. So like I'm looking at one right now and it says reflection. What is a hidden talent of yours that you may take for granted? Or Ooh. It might be write about the artistic or other creative activity you enjoyed most as a child. Wow, this app knows me. Another one is what's something you've learned and enjoyed recently? How could you do it more often? And then it also has different places that you've been. So it has different areas like a map view of just like points that you've visited over the past few days that you can also like track. Like apparently I went to Chester Square in February. So it says afternoon visit to Chester Square and now I can write about it. So it has like my map view in there and then it allows you to kind of write about that specific moment that happened. Right now it's showing me like highlights from photo memories. So it's showing when Ian went for his birthday to go and fly a plane. Like that was our gift to him, was that we got him a couple of hours to be a pilot on a plane. And so it has like all of the pictures and it's saying, why don't you write about this memory? And so I like that fact that it's not just so free flowing in the sense that you have to like come up with whatever, but it's like even on the days that there doesn't seem to be a lot to talk about, I can go to that section and be like, oh, you know what? I do want to write about that memory because it was really important to me. And I just want to kind of relive that moment. And I really find that valuable. And it's just a nice feature that it has.
Yeah, I really love that it prompts you with different things. I think that would be helpful. Yeah. And it's funny that it does the location tag. I guess that's why it always just prompts me to write about the gym, because that's the only place I go. But we hope that you really enjoyed this episode and maybe it inspired you to start journaling. If it did, go ahead and like reach out to us, share it with us, let us know like what you're going to try. Or if you have been a consistent journaler, do you have any like hacks or must tries that we could take away from you? We would love to hear from you. If you are interested in grabbing that digital personal planner, you can head over to our website, teachingonthedouble.com/store, and then just look for the cover that says personal planner. We have it available both in tablet, which is a PDF. You can use it on any device with an annotation app. And then we also have the Google Slides version of the planner. So you can pick and choose what works for you. But as I mentioned, that does have that daily journaling page as well as the monthly reviews, and it's undated. So you can buy the planner and reuse it year after year after year. It's a one-time purchase. While you are on our website, go ahead and submit your time-sucking hurdle. Like if you are a bullet journaler and you fall down the YouTube rabbit hole of all those videos and that is your time-sucking hurdle, let us know. We would love to be able to hear from you and maybe feature you in another episode. Go ahead and subscribe to the podcast. Wherever you listen to Teaching to the Top, whether it's through Apple Podcasts or Spotify or on our website, go ahead and like click the subscribe button or the follow button. It's just going to let your podcast platform know that you really enjoy our show. And it's most likely going to already have episodes downloaded, ready to go for you. That way, when we drop new episodes on Thursday morning, you can listen right away. Mm-hmm. If you do listen to us through Apple Podcasts, go ahead and leave us a review. It really does help us get into the ears of so many other teachers. And until next time, be timely.
Stay organized
and be productive.
Bye-bye.
See ya.